Morning, everyone. Welcome back to our busy week. Senator Hoffman, awful good to have you back. Today is Tuesday, April 26th, and the first bill up is Senator Hand's bill, Senate File 1026. Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, members, for being here early this morning. We have Senate File 1026, and I've asked Senator Berglund to join me out of recognition of the work that she has done on this issue over the past years. And actually, I was actually encouraged her to be the chief author, but we agreed to split the duties, so she's joining me today in presenting the bill. We have a couple of amendments that we'd like to offer as author's amendments, and so perhaps we could just take them in order. The A3 amendment, if I could move the A3 amendment as an author's amendment.
Mr. Chairman.
A3 amendment. Oh. Senator Han has offered the A3 amendment as an author's amendment. Senator Han, do you want to explain the amendment?
Senator Berglund, did you have a comment you wanted to make?
Well, I just before we vote, I wanted people to know what it is. So what this amendment does is it makes the recommendations of the screening team that's in the bill non-binding on the county attorneys. If a county attorney chooses to pursue a case that has not been recommended by the screening team, the county attorney must articulate the basis for that pursuing that case in the petition.
Okay. Anything you wish to add, Senator Han?
That's fine.
Any members of the committee have any questions? All right. Seeing no questions, and for the record, I'd indicate that we do have a quorum. All those in favor of the A3 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted.
And Mr. Chairman and members, the second amendment we'd like to offer is the A4 amendment that is a section on conditional release. This was a part of the bill that we had worked on that had not been completed by the time the bill was introduced. And we'd like to offer that as well.
Senator Han offers the A4 amendment as an author's amendment. Senator Berglund.
And Mr. Chairman, originally we thought we would do both a stay of commitment and conditional release. Conditional release has been better defined in the courts through the state of Illinois. And so we've decided in this amendment that we will just go with the conditional release language and delete the stay of commitment language.
And I indicate that the A4 amendment is just now being handed out, so we'll give the members just a moment to take a look at it. And I'd ask if there's anyone that has any questions concerning the A4 amendment. Seeing none, all those in favor of the A4 amendment signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed, same sign. The amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman and members, what I'd like to do is ask Mr. Yonker from the Office of the Legislative Auditor if he would be willing to come up briefly. You have in your materials a presentation. We're not going to go through the entire presentation. We're not going to do a slideshow here, but would refer to that. This is the summary of a legislative auditor report that was put together earlier this year, and I would like to ask Mr. Yonker if he would join us.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee.
Morning. Good morning.
If you would please state your name, and then you may proceed.
Mr. Chairman, my name is John Yonker. I'm with the Legislative Auditor's Office. In March, we completed a study on the civil commitment of sex offenders. and release that report. And you have a copy of the complete slideshow that we would normally provide, but I understand the need to keep this brief today. So I'm only going to spend a few minutes on some of the key slides here on the first page, the ones that are, that say findings on them. I think the first thing to note about the civil commitment of sex offenders is that this has been a very fast-growing population, that the number of civilly committed sex offenders has nearly quadrupled in the last 10 years through 2010, and it's expected to, under current law and current practices, to almost double in the next decade. So we've gone from about 150 people at the Moose Lake and St. Peter facilities to nearly 600 today, and we're expected to get up in the order of about 1,100 by the year 2020. So it's a very fast-growing population and program. Minnesota, of the 20 states that have civil commitment for sex offenders, Minnesota is third in the nation in terms of the total number of civilly committed sex offenders after California and Florida. And those states, of course, have a much higher population in general. So when you look at our per capita number of civilly committed sex offenders, we're number one in the nation. So for some reason, we are doing this in a big way compared to other states. This is also a very expensive program. It costs about $120,000 per year per person in the program. That's about three times the cost of incarcerating inmates at Minnesota correctional facilities. But it's not that much different from the average for other civilly committed programs across the country, because most of them commit those populations to high-security, hospital-like settings. Texas is an exception to that general rule, because in Texas, the civilly committed sex offenders are placed in halfway houses under significant restrictions, and they're provided outpatient treatment. And by minimizing the high-security Texas is able to run their program for about $27,000 per year. Texas does report that they have a zero sexual recidivism rate, so they're not experiencing problems, they say, with people absconding from the halfway house and committing sexual offenses. One noticeable thing that we found when we looked at the civil commitment process around the state is that there is significant variation across the state in commitment practices. In some parts of the state, about one-third of those who are referred by the Department of Corrections to county attorneys for possible commitment, one-third are committed. In other parts of the state, as many as two-thirds are committed. And the main reason for that variation is in the practices of county attorneys. In Hennepin County, in Ramsey County, in St. Louis County, where you have about one-third being committed, county attorneys are less likely to file a petition for commitment on those that are being referred to them than the county attorneys elsewhere in the state. So there's a lot of variation among county attorneys in terms of the percentage that they file petitions for commitment on. What we also noticed was that because of this significant variation, some sex offenders who are being committed probably have a lower risk of recidivism than some of those who are being released from prison. In some parts of the state, sex offenders are not being committed. They're being released from prison without significant restrictions, and those folks may be at higher risk for sexual recidivism than some of those that we are committing to Moose Lake and St. Peter and other parts of the state. Another observation from this report, another finding from this report, is that Minnesota lacks alternatives other than civil commitment to a high-security facility and release from prison. So it's an all-or-nothing decision. We do have a stay-of-commitment option, but that option is not being used very much. It's not particularly well-designed for this population. In the statutes that deal with civil commitment for chemically dependent populations, mentally ill populations, developmentally disabled, as well as sex offenders. And so it's not well designed for the sex offender populations themselves. We also lack alternative facilities, less secure facilities that might be appropriate for certain populations. We have an alternative program at MLSOP for individuals with lower cognitive ability who are less able to complete the sex offender treatment program and who are probably, on the whole, less dangerous than other sex offenders and who could be treated in a less secure facility, perhaps a less expensive facility, but that remains to be determined if it would be less expensive. So our point was that Minnesota needs to look at other options here, needs to look at trying to be more consistent in the commitment decisions that are being made. And we also had some findings about the treatment program at MSOP. And in particular there, we felt that more treatment needed to be provided, that there had been particular problems in Moose Lake in filling positions and in providing the needed treatment and maintaining an environment that would facilitate treatment as well. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll conclude my remarks and I will answer any questions if the committee has them.
Any questions from any of the members of the committee? Senator Hand, you had indicated on the note on your note that there were some other folks.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I think there are some people that would like to comment on the bill, but I'd like to defer that for a few moments and allow Senator Berglund to make some comments, and then I might ask Joan to go through the summary, the bill summary, with us.
Very good, Senator Berglund.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the legislative auditor has indicated, we don't have enough tools in our toolbox to deal with this population appropriately. And this bill is designed to provide the court with more tools. It acknowledges the fact that the civilly committed sex offender population doesn't come in one cookie cutter mold. We have folks in our program now who are quite elderly and frail and in need of long-term care services. We have people who are low functioning, as the legislative auditor mentioned, that most of the time these folks never even petition for release. So the bill will allow the department to petition on behalf of someone if they feel they're appropriate for an alternative placement. And the bill also will provide the courts with the option for stay of commitment, which might be appropriate, especially for people that are being provided sex offender treatment by MSOP in our prison system. And they may be ready to be in more of an outpatient program, but the court may not feel comfortable just releasing them from commitment. So this bill would give another option for a stay of commitment in circumstances where that might be warranted. We need to remember that we always are vulnerable to issues related to whether this program is constitutional. I believe the changes that Senator Han and I are proposing in this bill will make our law clearly be more constitutional because of the additional tools that we would be providing to the courts. We, in the bill, do give preference for the group of people who have never committed crimes as adults. These are folks that do not come from our prison system to commitment. They come directly from the counties. And I believe in some cases the counties have referred them because they don't know what to do exactly. And this bill would give a preference for an alternative placement for those individuals. Now, mind you, they would still be under commitment, and they would have to follow the terms of the alternative placement, or they would be pulled back into the regular program immediately. And in the case of those individuals, this bill does increase the county share to 25%, since the counties are the instigating entity, not the state correction system. I think it'd be good to go through the bill now, and then I think Senator Hannon will be ready for questions, and there is other testimony.
And Senator Hannon, you are requesting that council walk through the bill at this point?
Mr. Chairman, yes, if Ms. White would be willing to just briefly review the, you have a document which is a summary, but I thought it might be helpful if Ms. White would just review that briefly so people have an understanding of where the components are in the bill itself.
Ms. White.
Mr. Chair and members, Senate Bill 1026, Section 1. This section amends the criminal sentences chapter of law by inserting a cross-reference to the screening panel that's established in the bill, and it requires the Commissioner of Corrections to forward a determination that a petition for civil commitment under the sexual psychopathic personality law may be appropriate for an offender who's being released, and that's sent to, that's instead of to the county attorney. Sections 2 to 4 modify the sex offender program. Section 2 requires the county of liability to pay 5% of the cost of housing treatment and supervision for individuals who have a stay of, that would be the stay of commitment has been deleted in the amendment, so this would be for the people on conditional release and for people who have been placed in an alternative facility. Also, the county shall pay 25% of the costs of patients who do not have a conviction as an adult for a sex offense. And Section 3 requires the Commissioner of Human Services to identify existing alternative settings for the sex offenders to be transferred, discharged, or placed following commitment. And if existing facilities are inadequate, the Commissioner is required to develop alternative facilities and operate those facilities. Section 4 allows the head of the Minnesota Sex Offender Program to file a petition for a reduction in custody on behalf of certain individuals in the Minnesota Sex Offender Program. Sections 5 to 12 amend the Civil Commitment Act. Sections 5 and 6 clarify that if a petition is brought under the sexual psychopathic personality law, the patient must be released to the custody of the Commissioner of Human Services. Section 7 provides that petitions under the sexual psychopathic personality law may be stayed. That's no longer in the bill with the amendment. Again, those have been changed to the conditional release. Section 8 establishes the Sex Offender Civil Commitment Screening Panel. And this panel has 5 members, and it's responsible for reviewing preliminary determinations made by the Commissioner of Corrections that a petition under the sexual psychopathic personality law may be appropriate for an individual who's being released from prison. And with the amendment, the panel now makes a recommendation to the county attorney that is non-binding as to whether the county attorney should proceed with the petition. Section 9 requires that the petition be filed with the Supreme Court for referral to the statewide judicial panel. And if the proposed patient qualifies for an alternative setting, the petition must include a statement that this to this effect and request that the court order an evaluation of the patient. Section 10 establishes the threshold for placement in an alternative facility. It applies to proposed patients who are diagnosed as having a cognitive defect, who may not, and also people who may not benefit from a traditional treatment because of advanced age or physical disability, they could be managed in an alternative setting. Section 11 requires the Supreme Court to establish the panel of district judges to preside over the sexual psychopathic personality commitment proceedings. And Section 12 inserts a cross-reference to the new screening panel established in the bill.
Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Ms. White, for your help on that. I understand that there are some people who would like to make some comment on the bill. We do have a representative from the counties who's indicated that they would like to come forward, and I believe the county attorneys may want to also make a comment.
Yes. But please come forward. Welcome. Identify yourself, and please proceed.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. My name is Cindy Rupp. I am a division manager in Washington County.
Excuse me for one moment. Could you pull the mic up close? This room's acoustics isn't all that good.
Okay.
Restate your name, please, and then proceed.
My name is Cindy Rupp. I am a division manager in Washington County with oversight of our county mental health services, including the pre-petition screening process for mental health commitment. Thank you for the opportunity to address the committee. In my testimony today, I am representing the Minnesota Association of County Social Services and the Association of Minnesota Counties. This bill contains language regarding a county 25% cost of care for individuals who do not have a conviction as an adult for a sexual offense. Some of these individuals are juveniles who are adjudicated by the courts as delinquent. Washington County has committed one of these adolescents when the young man turned 18 and after extensive efforts by the juvenile correction system to provide treatment. Only after these efforts failed and the individual was going to be released from the correction system because of his age did the county attorney's office intervene with a petition for commitment for the safety of the community. Other individuals who have a low IQ or cognitive impairment may be committed after being charged with a felony but found incompetent to stand trial. In these cases, the court is required by statute to refer the individual for typically a mental health commitment. In some cases, this referral may result in a petition for commitment as a sexual psychopath. These individuals may be better served in alternative specialized services in the community that are currently not available. We understand that the proposed changes in statute are intended to ensure consistency across the state and that only the most egregious cases are committed. However, it seems unfair to county social service agencies to charge 25% of the costs for those individuals who have not been convicted of a felony. The county board does not make the decision whether to file a petition for commitment or make the final judgment regarding the commitment. The board and social services has no role in the commitment decision, but this bill would hold them responsible. A solution in this situation may be to refer all cases, not just the cases from the Department of Corrections, to the Sex Offender Civil Commitment Petition Screening Panel. It's kind of a mouthful. If all individuals were screened by this committee, it would assure statewide consistency for all individuals who are petitioned for commitment and assure that alternatives have been closely considered. An added concern is the use of existing alternatives or the development of alternative facilities. The current existing community resources are assisted living and corporate foster homes. There is a moratorium on the new development of corporate foster homes and limits on waiver dollars which pay for services. There is great competition between disability groups as to who is the primary receiver for waiver dollars. The vast majority of our current providers will not accept a sex offender due to liability and neighborhood issues. There is huge community resistance to having a sex offender live in the neighborhood. In Washington County, we have participated in several angry neighborhood meetings and many calls to board members when we opened homes for individuals who are disabled but not sex offenders. Currently, counties license adult foster homes, which may be an alternative for some of these individuals. This area will be a real challenge for any agency that is responsible for doing the recruitment and licensing of these homes. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm available for questions.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that wants to speak either for or against this bill? Appears to be no other testifiers. Senator Han. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do want to give an opportunity for the committee, of course, if they have questions. We understand this is a program that has been controversial from its inception. There are concerns, legitimate concerns that the public has to make sure that we are dealing appropriately with people who are predatory in nature. But we also believe and try to reflect in the language of this bill that there may be others who are being captured into the system as it is today because there really are no alternatives, and they may do better individually and the public be just as safe if we could find some alternative ways to treat these folks in some structure other than the current sex offender program. So this is an attempt to try to negotiate some alternative pathway than what we have in place today. And just want to make sure that if there are any questions from the committee members, that we have an opportunity to respond to those.
Any questions from any of the members of the committee? Seeing none, Senator Hand, to your motion.
Mr. Chairman, I believe that this will need to be seen in the Judiciary Committee. So I would like to, if there are no other questions, to move to that this bill be recommended to pass and referred to the Judiciary Committee.
Motion in before us is that this bill be recommended to pass and be sent to the Judiciary Committee. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, motion is adopted.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
At this point, our committee will recess until 1 o'clock, and we will reassemble here in this room at that time. We are in recess.